Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. As we continue our new series entitled Alpha and Omega, The Beginning and the End, we'll spend some time looking at the biblical account of creation as recorded in Genesis 1. This program has a focus on Bible prophecy, and as I teach Bible prophecy, I do so by taking the prophetic passages literally. Therefore, if I study Bible prophecy literally, I must also take the account of creation literally as well. You'll see how this all fits together in our study today.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
I'm a prophecy teacher, and I'm going to be teaching prophecy. Now, in order for prophecy to be real, to be fulfilled, for us to pay attention to it, it has to be translated literally. Like we translated John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you take that literally, and you had to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you take literally chapter 10 of the book of Romans, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then you've got to take prophecy literally. But if you take prophecy literally and the salvation redemption story literally, you've got to take the first chapter of the book of the Bible literal as well. Jesus Christ had to create the heavens and the earth, and all that in them is, or the rest of the Bible cannot be believed either. And there's a battle going on about creation. There's a battle between saved people and lost people, basically. And that battle is whether the evolutionary process is how the origins of man came into being. Well, I want you to know something, my dear friend. The evolutionary process is still a theory. We just celebrated the 100th anniversary of Darwin giving us this theory. It is not scientific fact. Pure science says this. You've got to be able to observe what happened and then replicate what happened. I don't know anybody that observed the creation and is able to replicate it. And so there is no true science that believes that and has an absolute proof that evolution was the process. So it is by faith they take evolution as the origin of man. We need to stand up to that. Number two, I've got to tell you that I can't prove creation as a fact. I had to take it by faith. But I took it by faith because I believe the man who went to the cross, died, was buried, and resurrected, and lives today, and he's now my Savior. And so it gives me better reason to take that what God said, the creation took place as it is recorded here in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. I'll take that by faith much quicker than I take anything other than what God's word has to say. So that battle is going on. We're battling it all the time. Your children, if they go to a public school, have to deal with it all the time. If you go into a secular university as a student, even as a grad student or whatever, you have to continue to deal with it all the time. If you read National Geographic magazine, the main thrust of National Geographic magazine is the evolutionary process, their television program. That's all they talk about. And so it is. We're confronted all the time. I walked into the Chattanooga Aquarium. It's one of the great aquariums down south in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I had my grandbabies with me. I walked in there. And as I was purchasing a ticket, I looked up there, and there was a great big sign promoting a coming event. And the sign basically said this, come and see this prehistoric display. You don't want to miss this prehistoric display. That put me over the edge. Folks, are we not being inundated? Do we not have to take a stand? It's happening out there all the time. The battle for the beginning is absolute. But that's not the only battle. That's not the only debate. That was between saved and lost people. There's a debate going on between saved and saved people. That battle is this. We don't want to take the Word of God literally. We want to compromise. We want to see how we can take a little bit of the Word of God and a little bit of scientific evolutionary process and put it together. And so it was. Theistic evolution has come in. Oh, they call it something else. Folks, it's theistic evolution. It's that God started something over here and it's evolved over the millions and billions of years. It's called the old earth theory. A man who is not a theological student. He's a scientist. And he has come to tell us that evolution played a key role in the creative acts as talked about in the book of Genesis chapter 1. In order to do that, he has to take scientific information, so-called scientific information, and put it as a higher priority than what God's Word says. Either God's Word is correct, and this earth and everything in it, the heavens, the earth, and all that was in the heavens and the earth was created by Jesus Christ. That had been happen in 6 24-hour days, approximately 6,000 to maybe 8,000 years ago, or we have to compromise and put science as the God and the most educated approach to understanding creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 with me. First of all, on your way back to Genesis chapter 1, I want to remind you that Jesus Christ created everything, the heaven, the earth, and all that in them is. How do I know that? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. By him were all things created. By Jesus Christ were all things created. God the Father was the architect. Jesus Christ was the carpenter. He's the one that spoke everything into existence. It was in the mind of God what was going to happen, and he created into existence, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. There's an interesting passage over there when the law is given to Moses. The law is given to Moses in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20 just for a second. Notice what it says here, starting in verse 8. Remember thy Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou shalt, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers that are within thy gates. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. He's telling the people to take a day's rest after working 6 days, laboring for 6 days, take a seventh day and rest on it. He said, that's what I did. Now, do you think God was trying to ask the children of Israel when he gave them the Ten Commandments? I took eons. Those days were eons of time. And after I did six eons of time, billions of years, I rested another billion years. Now, what I want you to do is work 6 billion years and then take rest for a billion years. You think that's what he was talking about? Or do you think he was literally telling them, it took me 6 days to create the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is, and on the seventh day I rested? Now, that's the pattern I want you to follow. You work 6 days, you rest the seventh day. And so it is, he's laying out, giving us the evidence that in 6 24-hour days, as the Bible literally says, this happened. Go to chapter 1 again of the book of Genesis. The second way that I know that this was a 6 24-day period of time and not eons of time, thus we have then a young earth instead of an old earth, is that as you look at the days, and there are 6 days of creation, he describes them by their number of the day. He used a numerical adjective. The word yom, Y-O-M, is the Hebrew word for day. I challenge you to take your concordance, go to your computer if you have a Bible program, search out the word yom and find any place in the Bible where the word yom, day in Hebrew, has a numerical number or a numerical adjective beside it and is not a 24-hour day. There's not one in the Bible. And so when he uses a numerical adjective, he's talking about a period of time. Jesus Christ in John chapter 11 determined what a day was. He said it's 12 hours. 12 hours is a day. That's the night is 12 hours. That's 24 hours. And so now, don't you think he has the same vocabulary that he had in John 11 over here in Genesis chapter 1 when he gave Moses this information? Six 24-hour days. And we know how long it was from Genesis to the flood, so we can determine how long it was after the flood to today. And then we know that we have a 1,000-year millennial kingdom yet to come. We can discern it's about 6,000 years up to the millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years for the millennial kingdom, and then into eternity future. How do we know that? We have the genealogies of chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, chapter 10 of the book of Genesis, chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. And let me tell you something, folks, there's no gap in any of those genealogies. No gap. How do I know? Because I read chapter 5. It says, and Adam lived so long and had Seth. And then he died after he had Seth, after living so many years. And Seth lived so long. There's no gap between Adam and Seth. And Seth and his son Enos are on down the line to Noah. Genesis chapter 5. So we can determine by going to God's literal word and seeing what it says. In Genesis chapter 1, the first day of creation. What did he do? Created the heavens and the earth. And by the way, between those two events, he created angels. How do I know that? Well, I read the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 4 to 7, wherein God says to Job, hey, Job, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? You got a problem, Job? Where were you when I shaped the earth? You know where the foundations are? Have you ever measured around the earth? And then he says in verse 7, when the angels, the morning stars and the sons of God, those are names of angels, when the angels sang and praised the Lord when I brought the earth into existence. And so then by putting those chapters together, you say God created the heavens, the habitation location for the angels. He created angels, then he created the earth. Everything was created in six 24-hour days. Nothing prehistoric. And he, by the way, he brought light into existence. Now, it's not the sun, because the sun is on the fourth day of creation. I would suggest to you that it's probably the face of Jesus Christ. Where do I get that from? Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, the countenance of Jesus is the sun shineth in his very strength. One day we'll do away with the sun and the moon. Jesus Christ will be the power and light company. His face, his sun, as it shineth in his very strength. That's how it's going to be. Light appeared. And then with absence of light, there was darkness. And that made 24 hours. And that's how we determine day and night today. That's chapter 1. And that's the first day of creation. And then in the second day of creation, you know what he did? He gave us breathable space on this earth. Praise God for that. He separated the water. He put water above the firmament and water below the firmament. He set up the firmament or the heavens or breathable space. Didn't do a lot on the second day, but I'm sure glad he did that so we can breathe today.
God's account of creation, as recorded in Genesis 1 and written through inspiration by Moses, the Jewish prophet, is the foundation for our faith as Christians. And by the way, I'm sure you're also thankful that the Lord created a breathing space for us on this earth on the second day of creation. Taking the account of creation literally is essential for us to study Bible prophecy, which must be taken literally as well. Next week, we'll continue our study of creation as it relates to the end of time scenario that's found in Bible prophecy. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of today's study of God's Word.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...